Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Well, this isn't Mike Crute, but this is Pat Kreitlow welcoming you to the cabin up on Lake Wissota, where it is always no mow May, because you'd be crazy to take the snowblower attachment off the John Deere tractor this early in the season. I'm Pat Kreitlow, the founding editor of Up North News. Thank you, Crutie, for inviting me to sit in today. I would like you to think of me as the Joey Bishop to Crute's Johnny Carson. And if you're old enough to get that reference, we are going to get along just fine today. For those of you who are on the road for the fishing opener, I want to urge you all to drive safe. Wish you all the best of luck, even if you're coming up here to Lake Wissota and getting in my way, because I have the things that I need for the fishing opener. I have a house here on the lake. I have a dock that goes down to the lake. I have a pontoon at the dock. But most importantly, I have a hot tub in the backyard where I'm going to be sitting tomorrow morning with my Bloody Mary and toasting all of you who are out there on the lake. So best of luck to you if that's where you're going. For now, in the meantime, the Liney Summer Shandy glass, if you hear the clink of this is ice water. It will be Summer Shandy in about 2 hours here. Brian, I want to express my appreciation for having you along for the ride here. You are an unwilling or unwitting co-conspirator, and it's great to finally talk to you on air.
I'm mostly willing right now, and I got to tell you, tomorrow morning, I may not be with you, but I'm with you, because that's where I'll be mentally while I'm doing a bunch of yard work in my own house.
Yeah, gone fishing. Exactly. Good. Well, hey, among the things we will probably talk about today, in and out of your phone calls as well, is that former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish has reaffirmed her no exception for rape and incest if Roe versus Wade were to be repealed. We will probably get into one of the topics up north, and that is, again, another proposal to have an open pit mine looking for zinc and copper and other minerals in a very sensitive part of Marathon County. And we're also going to get into Ron Johnson going all in on his guerrilla war with science. And he's the one that's actually calling it a guerrilla war now. This is part of my editorial that just went out in our daily Up North News newsletter. You can sign up for it. First of many shameless promos, by the way, today for Up North News. You'll find Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI, or search for Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. If you get the daily newsletter, it's going to begin with my editorial saying that if anyone is giving Senator Ron Johnson the benefit of the doubt on COVID vaccines, just stop. Because he's no longer just, you know, expressing concern about the vaccine. By his own admission this week, Johnson says he's fighting a quote-unquote guerrilla war against doctors who don't want to admit that the vaccine they were pushing on their patients are injuring them, potentially killing them, close quote. What? What? Let me get one more in there. What? It is time to call this what it is from Senator Johnson. That's not an accusation. That's a confession. It's a confession that he is knowingly causing COVID deaths by placing false doubts. It is political malpractice. And believe it or not, he has managed to sink lower. This is even worse than his other inexcusable disinformation gigs of passing along Russian talking points about Ukraine and undermining American election integrity. As far as I'm concerned, and I have so many good friends, you know, who are Republicans or lean Republicans up north here, any Republican who understands and appreciates science and has a shred of human compassion should speak out against such grotesque comments from Ron Johnson. And let's be frank, folks, they shouldn't just say they won't vote for him this fall. They should be demanding his resignation. Now, he's not going to resign, of course. He's been busy trying to win re-election by fear-mongering about immigration, about crime, about a proven vaccine. But at this point, demanding that he leave office is the right thing to do, because he is an actual danger to public health and to the health of our democracy. So we have that story and more in our newsletter, and we'll be posting that story later on as well over at Up North News WI. So that's the first of some of the topics that we're going to get into today. But I also wanted to just kind of fill in the blanks for some folks who, again, might be wondering, who this is, what the hell was Crute thinking. And I mentioned the Joey Bishop thing before. Let me go with something slightly less ancient. Let's go with my many similarities to Troy McClure. You may know me from on the radio right here on Wednesday nights and weekends as part of the Up North podcast, or from all those years anchoring the evening news on Channel 13 in Eau Claire in the late 90s and the early aughts. Perhaps from the radio stations that I worked at in Rice Lake, WAQE, and West Bend, WBKV. Maybe it was from my 4 years in the Wisconsin legislature, or my 2012 campaign for Congress against Sean Duffy, where I perfected my use of the line by John Lovitz as Michael Dukakis saying, "I can't believe I'm losing to this guy." I also, for those of you who are still trying to score along at home, dropped out of view for a few years when we became empty nesters, my wife and me. Our midlife crisis involved taking jobs on a Caribbean island for a couple of years, where I even got back into TV news at Cayman 27 on Grand Cayman. We did eventually move back here to Lake Wissota, the summertime base for our two daughters and now four grandkids. And that is why, if you're watching this on video, probably through Chippewa Falls Public Access, you're going, "This guy's hair is a lot whiter than it used to be." And it's, you know, four grandkids will do that to you. But it is here at the cabin that I have finally found my dream job, and that is founding a state-based digital newsroom. I truly hated how TV and radio consultants used to tell us we need to do less political coverage because, you know, people find that boring. Well, look where that got us, right? Great attitude, folks. So I helped found Up North News. And over the past 2.5 years, I've had various reporters, writers, video creators, and social media managers help me to make political coverage accessible, fact-based, while also being upfront about our left of center values. In other words, I'd like to consider us as trained assassins working to take out the scourge of American journalism known as both sidesism. I would like to have newsrooms out there spare us the over-reliance on the term "some say," as in some say they still have questions about the COVID vaccine. No, that is not the news story. The news story is that Senator Ron Johnson continues to put lives in danger through this disinformation. That is something every journalist in America can say. It is not partisan. It is truthful. It is even more truthful than going with the "some say," and it has more impact to the audiences that you serve. That is the honesty that we need more of in our newsrooms. There are plenty of newsrooms that slant their coverage based on what the publisher or the editor or the advertisers want. They just never tell the audience about it. And that's just disrespectful. Here's another example. At Up North News, we never use the word "investigation" to describe what Wisconsin Republicans and Chief Inspector Michael Gableman are doing, because there continues to be no evidence that there's anything to investigate. Put it this way, you wouldn't call it a murder investigation if nobody died, but police continued to harass someone that they keep trying to treat as a suspect. You'd call it misconduct, and your focus would rightly be on looking for transparency and accountability, not playing the game of "some say they still have questions about the election." Look, some folks say they're fiscal conservatives when they really keep racking up budget deficits. It's not okay to call them something that they're not. So that's why we don't go with the investigation angle over at Up North News either, until proven otherwise. Now, if you're listening to this and still wondering what is this guy, you know, what's he based in? It turns out we're on in several locales, and I want to thank every one of them basically by name. So let's start with the Waukesha, Milwaukee area. If you are listening around there, my radio shows try to be mindful of Gus Ganorski when I lived in Milwaukee during the days when my wife was going to medical school. That whole notion that radio is supposed to provide some public service. If you're listening around Chicago, look, nobody can be like Uncle Bobby, but we sure need folks who are making politics accessible rather than branded as icky. And that was something that, you know, Bob Collins did for the longest time. If you're listening in the Twin Cities, well, you're listening to a kid from the east side of St. Paul who went to St. Paul Harding and then Apple Valley and could never decide if I wanted to be, you know, Dave Moore, the trusted but curmudgeonly news anchor, or Steve Cannon, the brash radio host and mercenary. So together, you and I are going to be taking all of these flavors and rolling them around as we talk about what truly will be a week for the history books, a week when I think we truly appreciated the degree to which the American right wing has lost their damn minds. This is something where nobody asked our crazy uncle with the conspiracy theories to run for office, try to kill off democracy, turn women into second-class citizens, and then pretend that the majority agrees with you. But this is where we are in this day and age. It is no longer possible to just ignore the barking dog because the dog has now bit you. It is no longer possible to just ignore the bully because he has now decided to stand firmly in your path. And it is no longer possible to just turn the other cheek because the time has come that you're either going to have to extract a pound of flesh or be prepared to have it extracted from you. So that is something that, Brian, I know that you and Crute and Dom and everybody have been trying to do and get people to understand that, you know, sitting on the sidelines is not enough. It's not enough to just listen to a radio show or post on Facebook. So if anything that I do over the next, you know, hour or two helps you with some talking points in those coffee shops or at those family dinners, then this will have been time well spent. Or Brian, if I didn't make the audition, you can let me know it's time to go because I can get on that pontoon at any point. Still good?
Having this all come out into public has exposed things that didn't need to be exposed.
He's not done yet.
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
That ain't the last bite.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
Listen, if I can get a dessert down them, I think you could throw in a couple of Paul Bunyan hats for the kids.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back. This is Pat Kreitlow filling in for Mike Crute on this wonderful Friday, heading into the fishing opener weekend and whatever else you have planned. And I know that there are things other than fishing going on up there. In fact, another one of the stories that we posted today on Up North News is about all the different options. You can certainly go to the lake. You can take part in, say, the governor's fishing opener, which is going to be taking place tomorrow on Shell Lake up in Washburn County, where they're all breathing a sigh of relief because there was still ice on the lake until not that many days ago. I recall, well, there have been several, but there was one up near Hayward not that long ago where, again, they were hoping the ice would finally allow the boats to get out. But it's not just the fishing. There's plenty more there to it. But if you are, let's see, what do we got over in Shell Lake there? There's a family fishing day at the Memorial Park. There's learning how to cast, something I've still tried to master as well. What are some of those other things that are not going? Oh, I know. There's like over at in Cross Plains, they have a, you know, giant garage sale. It's called the 100 Mile Garage Sale. It stretches all along the Lake Pepin section of the Mississippi River from Hastings to Winona, Minnesota, across to Fountain City and north to Prescott. It's something that, you know, a lot of people are going to try to catch their limit in fish. Others will try to do it in antiques or other things that they will really try to convince their spouse was here in the hallway all along. I don't know why you haven't noticed that particular knickknack before, Brian.
I mean, if the guys from House on the Rock could do it, why can't I? You know, that's really what it is.
House of the Rock actually came up in some conversation last week. I was visiting one of my daughters and two of my grandsons in South Texas, and there's an attraction down there called Bob's World, and it looks rather eclectic. And we thought, let's go see what's in there. And it turned out to be a South Texas version of House on the Rock. I mean, it's everything, man. It is a junk drawer writ large, you know?
And you try and describe it, but you really just can't. You have to be there and you have to experience it yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's, and you know, usually when somebody says, you know, you just have to experience it for yourself, that's like a warning, like don't do it. But in this case, we really mean it. You really, you need to see this.
Please do. Although there was one point.
Go enjoy the stories.
There was one point where I messed up both of my forearms. I hit one, like I had in my hands in my pockets, and I hit one off of a brick that hit like right on my pressure point right at one forearm, and then I bounced over and hit the other forearm, and I was rendered useless for a good, you know, half an hour or so with my hands. It was absolutely crazy. But it can only happen at House on the Rock.
No, it's very true. And again, the first time that we went through there, you know, you just don't know. You're like, what? Wait, where does this end? How does this end? But then you're just intrigued enough to want to go see the next thing. It's like, wow, they're doing that too. Okay. So yeah, that's one of those other things you could do, you know, over in Green Lake County in Berlin, they're doing a citywide sale this week. Cross Plains has their Trout Days celebration on Friday and Saturday. There's live music and carnivals and other places. The one thing we noted in our story as well about the fishing opener was with the late spring and with the late ice out, you know, what does that mean for fishing? And the DNR is saying that, you know, because spring's been slow to arrive, the fish up north will actually be hungrier and more eager to bite. The walleye are still spawning in the north, while those in the Wisconsin River have finished spawning. So fishing should be good on Lake Wisconsin. So, you know, it's looking like it will be a good start for all of those folks. And I know there's a lot of them. One of my fondest memories of the fishing opener, again, has nothing to do with fishing. Because for those people that have met me, they understand. But working, again, up at the radio station up in Rice Lake, you'd have to go up there and turn the station on at 5 o'clock every morning. You know, somebody's got to wake up the cows and turn on the transmitter. And most of the time, you know, right alongside Highway 53 at 5 in the morning, you know, there's not much going on 53, but it's always that night before the fishing opener that at 5 in the morning, the freeway is packed with cars and hauling trailers and boats. And that's when you realize those are all the folks from Illinois and from the southern part of the state. And they had to work all day on Friday, so they couldn't hit the road till late, or they wanted to get out super early to go fishing. And it was just a rolling armada going up 53 as everybody comes up there. And of course, all of us, you know, who were in Rice Lake at the time or any of these other communities, you know, we have our fingers out, wiggling our fingers going, bring me your money, bring me your business, and we will give you trinkets and we will give you food and we might give you fish, you know, depending on your talent. Brian, any particular fishing talents or stories out of you?
One, my daughter, the second she put the first time she's ever had any sort of fishing rod in her hand, she dipped it into the water and caught something. To the point where every time her aunt baited it, she didn't have enough time to light a cigarette before my daughter caught another one. And then after a while I was handling the fish, and then I was like, come on, if you're going to catch it, you got to handle it now. And she was like, no, I'm done. But she's now almost 10 and has this wonderful, wonderful joke that she made up. She said, why are all the people up north grouchy? And I said, okay, why? She goes, they're all Illinois.
All right.
I thought that was great. I mean, for a 10-year-old, not too bad for coming up with something.
No, I think that's pretty awesome. And I love the added flavor of, you know, trying to get a cigarette lit, because that really does harken back to my only fishing story about my dad. And, you know, again, back in that, you know, in those early to mid 70s, you know, that's just what you did on the boat there. And, you know, we tried fishing together, my dad and me. My dad, who's been gone for a couple of years now, great at fishing, loves fishing, loved hunting, somehow managed to raise a son that just could not. I couldn't keep quiet. I don't know if you might have trouble finding this out, but finally, at one point, he just brought the boat back to the dock and said, and he did the same thing deer hunting, having me just wait out in the pickup truck because there was too much wriggling around, too much, you know, talking. Had to do that. And now look at me. I'm almost getting paid for it. That's how it should work. Hey, thanks for being with us on Devil Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow in for Mike Crute, and we'll have some more for you after this break.
To see a young person be that proud to catch something that big and to show it off, that's what makes us want to keep coming back.
Shut up, you little weasel!
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the cabin up on Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow, in for Mike Crute on Devil's Advocates Radio for this Friday getaway day. And we have really had to appreciate in recent years here, Friday used to be a quiet news day. At worst, it was take out the trash day, where once in a great while, if there was something, you know, that somebody hoped would quietly slip under the radar, then the trash would be set out on a Friday afternoon, hoping nobody would pick up on it. And, you know, a good example of that would have been the state Supreme Court decision a couple of weeks back, two weeks ago now on gerrymandering, 3 weeks ago, I'm sorry, came out on Good Friday afternoon, about 5 p.m. Not to be cynical, but how cynical do you have to be as a state Supreme Court to put out your gerrymandering decision 5 p.m. on Good Friday when a lot of people took the afternoon off? But I digress. It has been take out the trash day almost every Friday for the past few years here. And we're just kind of used to that, now in this day and age.
The Roe overturning. They were planning on releasing that the last day of the session as well. So it was already, even like the biggest thing, the biggest decision of Alito's entire career, they were going to do the same thing, drop it on a Friday and run last day of the session.
It's so inexcusable. Again, this whole notion of, you know, back timing your activity and, you know, then trying to sneak out at the very end with absolutely no accountability for it. Is how these things happen. So instead, we get a leaked document about the U.S. Supreme Court, apparently all set to overturn Roe v. Wade. Whether the final opinion will look like this draft certainly remains to be seen. But as you can imagine, it has led to no shortage of reaction from people in one form or another. We'll tell you a bit about, you know, who we talked to at Up North News in just a bit. But I did notice today in the Twitterverse a clip from Fox 6 in Milwaukee, and I know that former lieutenant governor and gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish has said before that, you know, she does not believe in abortion exceptions for rape or incest, but I wasn't sure if I'd ever actually seen her asked directly on camera about it. And that did happen. A Fox 6 reporter did put the question to her, and she was ready with her answer.
Would you have an exemption for rape and incest as well?
No, because I don't think it's the baby's fault how the baby is conceived.
So there it is. It's not the baby's fault, of how the conception happens. Clefish, whose position, by the way, is shared by all the other Republican candidates for governor, then went on to say that her view is rooted in being a woman who has taken pregnancy tests, and that therefore her position is pro-women. She said, quote, "People need to fully understand that we're going to be supporting women, period, end of story." Well, unless that story involves rape, you know, it appears, then not so much. So give folks credit who are at least not trying to play, you know, cutesy with their position. If they are pro forced birth, if they are essentially for, you know, men to impregnate anybody on demand and, you know, have the government tell you you have to just keep it that way, at least they're telling you, you know, they're and part of that is the confidence that comes through gerrymandering. when you know you either live in a red district or a red enough state, or that if you can gin up enough of your base, you'll win. Yeah, you're much less likely to temper or you know, moderate your positions. You can come right out and say no exceptions for rape or incest. But, you know, again, it's going to get a few other people jazzed up as well who may not necessarily agree with you. And I know, Brian, by the end of this, you know, long week, I'm sure a lot of folks are starting to think, much like COVID, much like anything else, they, you know, they want to move on, looking for some other topic. I mean, after all, look, a million people have now died of COVID. It was hardly marked this week at all. But I think it is important as much as possible, especially in an election year like this. Something like this can't get talked about too much.
Yeah. I had an interview with Annalise Eicher, and I was asking her about, you know, how it was a day after, you know, the leak. And I was talking about, you know, political ramifications, or should they go and go with a congressional bill to go and codify, you know, Roe v. Wade, you know, that type of thing. And I was like, yeah, but let's wait till the midterms. Wouldn't it be great to run on that type of thing? And she goes, that's a really nice privileged way to look at it, because for some people, they don't have the privilege of waiting. And
right.
I need to echo that sentiment as well to anybody who's like, well, I'm just tired of talking about this. Well, guess what? It's here. It's here and now, and it's very important. It happens to affect over half of the population.
Right. And we talked earlier. Well, we talked on Wednesday night on the Up North podcast to friend of the show, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN in the Green Bay area, who is also the legislative district chair for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And she explains that a wildly simplistic view of abortion has shaped the circumstances that have gotten us to this point. She said too many people in positions of power have feelings that are similar to Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who implied in arguments about this case that the existence of safe haven laws, where new mothers can surrender an infant without legal consequences, have alleviated what Barrett called the burdens of parenting and make abortion protection less necessary. And Dr. Lyerly said, I don't know what world she lives in, but that is not how it works in the real world. It has nothing to do with just not wanting a baby. The reasons why women pursue abortions are all over the place, and they include complicated health histories, social histories, economic situations, the aforementioned rape, and health issues that prevent a woman from being able to carry a pregnancy to term. And the only way to take care of these women in a thoughtful and necessary way, said Dr. Lyerly, is to individualize their care. And that's the opposite of what will happen if a decision like this comes down. So if Roe's overturned, the state immediately reverts to being treated under an 1849 law that outlaws all abortions. The topic has come up that maybe that 1849 law, because it hasn't been enforced for half a century, there is a legal doctrine out there that State Attorney General Josh Call said he might try to, you know, test out in court, that says, you know, this hasn't been enforced for so long, you just can't anymore. That's fine. Again, it's good to look for all the various options, but the best option of all is to not have people in positions where they can make these kinds of decisions on behalf of, you know, the entire population of women.
May I say, isn't it great that statewide elections are really hard to gerrymander? Because could you imagine if not Josh Call was in there, if Brad Schimmel was still there? Could you imagine if a Republican was in the AG's office right now? Then you'd really have a threat. You'd really have some issues there.
Oh, without a doubt. And I've said that plenty of times, that thank goodness you can't gerrymander a state. Now, obviously, you know, states can tilt one way or the other, but as has been proven time and time again, when the voters show up, Wisconsin is a slightly Democratic state when you look statewide. With gerrymandering, you know, as I've learned firsthand, you know, it's easy to create districts any which way. I am, for those of you who want to know my true claim to fame, I'm the one responsible for the gerrymander of 2011 of congressional districts, because I was dumb enough to declare that I was going to run against Sean Duffy in April of 2011, and they hadn't finished redistricting yet. So a couple of weeks later, imagine my surprise when the new congressional district maps came out and they had so carved up the 7th and the 3rd districts in many different ways. They brought the line up to, but not quite around my house, but cut out all the rest of Chippewa Falls and put that in the 3rd district. You know, so under the old district, you know, we wouldn't have had to put up with Sean Duffy for that many more years. But again, you can't gerrymander a state, but you sure can in these districts. And it's that balance that is the only thing keeping us from either having even more problems or fewer if we could just get, you know, more state-based elections. Julie from Minneapolis is joining us on the phone. Julie, nice to have you here.
Oh, hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, you know, I'm kind of for this idea. I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks, but I was online. I noticed that they are going to have a candlelight march. There's going to be two different marches that I saw. One is going to be a candlelight march to the homes of a couple of the justices, and then there's also going to be another march and protest. You know, they may not get closer than a half a mile from their houses, but I don't think that's so bad. You know, when I brought up that idea to someone, they said to me, well, that's violating their privacy. You should never go to a judge's house. That's just wrong. And I thought, wow, 100 million women are having their bodies invaded, you know, and women are 100 million women are being told what to do with their bodies, and that's not violating their privacy. So I'm not totally against the idea. Whether or not it'll do any good, maybe it won't, but I'll tell you, in as we sit here in Minnesota, we're going to have people from North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. And I don't know if you can address this or not, but I've heard that abortion is going to be a felony in Wisconsin. So I was just wondering if you could clear that up or if you could discuss that.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it and good to hear from you. And it is something that, Rebecca Clefish talked about in her interview, saying that she hoped for it. She prayed for it, knowing that the 1849 law, criminalizing abortion would come back on the books. To the notion of protesting at people's houses, I'm going to say that I'm not going to tell you that I have a blanket opposition to it. But I will say, as somebody who's been a public figure for most of my adult life, either as a media person, you know, TV anchor, then a legislator, candidate, what have you, it's not necessarily the kind of thing that I would like to, you know, expose my wife and children to because of, you know, what I do. Having said that, obviously, that is part of the risk you take in being a public figure, that you are that much more publicly accountable. To this day, I still get stopped in the aisles of grocery stores or, you know, at restaurants if I'm out for a fish fry, because people feel like they can't approach you. Like they can say, Pat, you know, what's the deal with this topic that's in the news? And they know I'm going to set down my drink and I'm going to explain to them where I'm coming from. They'll know where I'm coming from. They know that, you know, they may not agree with everything that I say, but that I will not lie to them when I tell them, you know, what I think of this issue or that. That's not the same as a protest, but I would think that if somebody were to come, you know, to my house or to somebody else, you know, some other public official's place, that again, what you're looking for is that respectful conversation. I'm hearing what you're saying. You hear what I'm saying. This isn't really that. You know, this is when you talk about a candlelight vigil, I think that is probably the most peaceful way to go about involving a public figure's actual private residence, because rather than, you know, hearing yelling, screaming, speeches and whatnot, I think that display of candlelight can be extremely powerful. It is just that way of affirmation. It gets into what I've always said about yard signs. And, you know, political consultants loved to say, yard signs don't vote. Well, that's a bunch of bull, especially here up north. And I'll try to remember to tell my Tommy Thompson, Donald Trump story about this in just a bit. But basically, if you don't have any signs out, especially here up north, and there's nothing but signs for your opponent, that tells an undecided voter, that's quite a boost of affirmation that, okay, this person has all this support, this person has none. And I think the same can be said with that candlelight. Wherever you choose to hold it, to do it, it shows a sign that we may be quiet, but we are not alone, and we will use our voice in even this most visual of ways. I'm Pat Kreitlow, filling in for Mike Kroot. More right after this.
Now, for the only thing better than Dove.
Better than Dove?
Free Dove stuff!
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing on that plate but gristle and fat.
Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Hey, look at that. It's one of my favorite Friday songs. Pat Kreitlow here with you in for Mike Kroot today on Friday as we get set to start the weekend, the opening weekend of fishing season, the unofficial opening weekend of real spring. We hope real spring. I mentioned earlier one of the topics I wanted to get into this hour that some folks up north are familiar with, but I feel needs a bit more attention around the state and around the upper Midwest, is the continued threat to our clean water throughout Wisconsin. And there are many threats to clean water in Wisconsin. And we know this is true because not only in 2019 did Governor Tony Evers declare it the year of clean water, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the Republican side, not to be outdone, set up a speaker's task force on clean water to say, hey, we care about it too. And so it got studied, and a few minor things were done. But by and large, the threats are still out there on multiple fronts. The one you've heard about most recently is something called PFAS. That's an acronym for a class of man-made industrial chemicals that turned out they've been leaking into our groundwater from all kinds of places over the years, from factories, from firefighting foam, what have you. You know, it's been found in like every one of the city wells in Wausau. Rhinelander's had an issue with it, French Island near La Crosse, Marinette, of course. So people are familiar with that. You may have heard about the issue of high capacity wells, especially in the central part of the state, that draw out so much water for some of these mega farms that they actually threaten to reduce the water table. Of course, you know all about lead pipes. You know about fertilizer runoff in cities and manure runoff in the country. But the one that hasn't been talked about lately, but is coming up yet again, deals with the subject of mining. And this is something that was an issue when I was running for legislature back in 2006. It's just one of those issues that is going to rear its ugly head every so often. Look, we know that underneath Wisconsin runs a vein, essentially a volcanic belt from a long, long time ago. And it's in that belt where you can find things like zinc, like copper, like gold, like silver. But the other nature of that particular belt is the geology and the geography of it makes it sensitive areas where many rivers have their headwaters, where there's wetlands and other sensitive areas. So digging into that area from the get-go has the potential to do harm. But then you take it a step further with the type of mining that would be done, known as sulfide mining, where the way that you go to extract the minerals themselves can cause tremendous damage, because essentially it creates sulfuric acid and can risk polluting the groundwater. Well, why are you bringing up all this, Pat? The reason is that there is another proposal, this time in Marathon County, to start doing some exploratory drilling for the potential of an open pit mine. And it would take place right near the dells of the Eau Claire River County Park in Marathon County. Again, an area where, over millennia, the water has cut through, created caves and cliffs and whatnot, and is an area that is especially sensitive. Well, not only sensitive to the mining, it turns out, but as people found out this week, if they went to a meeting of the Marathon County Board's Environmental Resources Committee, they learned that just the exploratory drilling itself is it can contain various chemicals that are used to lubricate the drills or to fill the holes that can also introduce some toxicity to the groundwater that's there. So small wonder that people around Wausau, who are already a little frazzled about PFAS being in the well, in all the well water, are now concerned about what a mine could do to the water that's in there as well. It bears repeating that the only reason we are talking about the possibility of an open pit mine in northern Wisconsin is because we no longer have the prove it law, which said you can have a mine here. All you got to do is show us a mine that's been operating similarly someplace else in the US or Canada, has been now closed for 10 years. And during the time that it was operating and the time that it was closed, it hasn't polluted the water. You prove that, you get the permit. I think you can read between the lines that no, there's been no mine that hasn't polluted the water. So it is the most common sense law we had on the books in Wisconsin until our friend, Toxic Tom Tiffany, then state senator, now congressman, worked with newly elected Governor Scott Walker and the Republican-led legislature at the time to ditch the law, to ditch the prove it law. So it's not there anymore, which has led to, round after round since then, every couple of years or so, of some company coming in saying that, again, just let us drill a few holes. We're going to be awfully careful. And I love what they're doing now for a further excuse for the mining. It's all about the clean economy. It's the way to get us off fossil fuels, they tell us. Because after all, we're moving toward a battery-based economy, and you need zinc for that, and you need some of these other metals for it. And on its face, you go, okay, well, I see what you're saying. That does make sense. It has to come from someplace if that's the way you want to go. But is the way you want to go digging a pit in the ground and polluting all the groundwater around there? So you've got, and this was the same thing that was happening a little further north, closer to the Bad River Reservation. And those poor folks there, I talked to people up there, connected with the community just this past week, because not only do they now have people saying, well, we have to dig for this so that we can get off of fossil fuels. These are the same folks that have to look at a pipeline, the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline, which is bringing oil and gas right through the reservation, right across the headwaters of the Bad River, and who are saying, whatever permission you got in the late 1950s, that's not permission that you have anymore. We want you out of here. And the company Enbridge is doing everything humanly possible to, keep that up, to keep that pipeline flowing. So keep the fossil fuels running through sensitive areas in northern Wisconsin, even as other companies try to get a permit to dig for the minerals they say are going to be needed for the batteries. This all has to do then with, the discussions on this are going to continue in Marathon County. It's far from a done deal yet. But it is the kind of thing that leads to the topic of environmental justice and a new office created for it that we'll talk about at some point down in the future as well. Let's take a break. And thanks again for tuning in. I'm Pat Kreitlow, in for Mike Crute on Devil's Advocates Radio.
For gold, and I'm gonna get it.
And they call it a mine.
I'm gonna dig up what's of gold, V for victory.